At this time on a Monday, we get to chat labor law issues. This morning, Samiksha Singh, Director of Employment Law at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr Inc. Good morning, Samiksha.
Good morning, Brad. I hope that you and your listeners are having a great Monday so far. Today, I'll be discussing a very serious topic, and it is more so important given that we are in the midst of the most horrific and persistent gender-based violence that is going on at the moment in South Africa. Which is why I'd like to talk about sexual harassment in the workplace and just remind employees, employers, and everyone, in fact, as to how serious this problem is and what you can do to try and eliminate this form of unfair discrimination in the workplace, and not only for female employees or any employee that is the subject of harassment or sexual harassment in the workplace, to take steps to protect their rights. But this is also just a comment to everyone to try and take steps to not find themselves in the situation where they become a perpetrator. As you know, sexual harassment is a form of unfair discrimination based on the grounds of sex, gender, and or sexual orientation. And our Employment Equity Act seeks to protect and prohibit any form of sexual harassment in the workplace. What is sexual harassment? Sexual harassment is the unwelcomed conduct of a sexual nature that violates the rights of an employee and constitutes a barrier to equity in the workplace, taking into account the following factors: whether the harassment is on a prohibited ground of sex, gender, or sexual orientation, whether the sexual conduct was unwelcome, the nature and extent of the sexual conduct, and the impact of sexual conduct on the employee. It's also very important to point out to all the listeners that although the Employment Equity Act deals with the relationship between an employer and an employee, not only employees can be victims of sexual harassment in the working environment. The victim and the perpetrator of sexual harassment do not have to be co-workers. And the law has extended the ambit of which a victim or perpetrator can include persons such as the owners, the employers, managers, supervisors, employees, job applicants, clients, suppliers, contractors, or any others that are having any dealing with the company. It's important to note that there is a number of ways in which an employee can indicate that the sexual conduct is unwelcome. An employee may indicate through verbal means by telling the perpetrator that the conduct is unwelcome, or by non-verbal means such as walking away or removing oneself from the presence of the perpetrator in the face of sexual harassment. The fact that parties may have previously welcomed or participated in the conduct does not mean that the conduct remains welcome. An employee is not precluded from lodging a sexual harassment claim against the perpetrator when the attention becomes unwelcomed, even if the employee was previously in a relationship with the perpetrator. The fact that the relationship may have ended or the person being the victim may have indicated that the conduct is no longer welcome is sufficient for the perpetrator to know that the conduct is no longer welcome. And sexual harassment is not limited to any hierarchical system. It can be perpetrated by a co-worker, a supplier, or any subordinate. So it's not your traditional scope of where it is always the case of the perpetrator being the manager and the victim being the subordinate. It can happen to any employee in the organization or somebody that you have dealings with, regardless of your position or structure in the hierarchy of the business. The conduct must be physical, verbal, or non-verbal conduct. Physical conduct may include unwelcome physical conduct ranging from touching to sexual assault and rape. Verbal conduct includes unwelcome innuendos, suggestions, hints, sexual advances, comments with sexual overtones, sex-related jokes, inappropriate inquiries about a person's sex life, whilst indicating any innuendos, whether it is by electronic means or otherwise of a sexually explicit text. Nonverbal conduct includes unwelcome gestures, indecent exposure, or the display or sending of sexually explicit pictures of or objects. It was important for employees to identify what conduct may constitute sexual harassment. If you are uncomfortable or you are not sure whether or not the conduct constitutes sexual harassment, you should be able to report the behavior of the conduct to the relevant manager or human resources within your organization and seek to have the matter dealt with as soon as possible so as to eliminate or cease the conduct in the workplace and prevent any further or serious escalation of the sexual harassment. It's important for employers to also have a sexual harassment policy which will assist in eliminating the sexual harassment in the workplace. It should seek to educate employees and provide for appropriate procedures to deal with sexual harassment and prevent its recurrence. It's important that everyone takes steps in the workplace and within our society to eliminate this type of behavior, whether it's at the workplace or at any level, so that we can hopefully come through the scourge of gender-based violence and harassment and sexual assault, rape and murder of women and children in South Africa. Wish you and all your listeners the very best. Thank you, Brad.
Yeah, thank you, Sameeksha Singh. She's a Director of Employment Law at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr Inc. So I hope that that has spoken into the situation. I'm sitting listening to what Sameeksha is saying and thinking that there are people that are doing these things and thinking that it is okay. And also the realization that it can happen to anybody. Grateful for that very clear explanation of that.